This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Take control of the airwaves. Talk about whatever is important to you. 603-283-6160 if you'd like to do that. Again, 603-283-6160. With you tonight, it's Aria.
And Bonnie.
And Lori.
And we just got to entertain Mark for a bit, who clarified that he doesn't hate the free state. Hold up. He doesn't hate New Hampshire. He just isn't a fan of the Free State Project, was basically what I got out of the conversation. He created a very narrow group of people who he felt were best to move here, where I tend to think, I mean, the cold isn't that bad here in New Hampshire. And I realize so far we've had a really light winter, but the first year I moved here, the winter was absolutely awful. In November, there was like 2.5, maybe 3 feet of snow already on the ground, and it just kept getting worse from there. It hit negative 7 degrees night after night after night, and it sucked. I was like, man, this is what the New Hampshire winter's like. All right, let's get through this then. But since then, there hasn't been a winter anywhere near that bad.
And the rest of the year is beautiful.
Yeah, the rest of the year absolutely is beautiful. But we also have Ian, who is joining us now. Ian, welcome to the show.
Hey, I was just listening to that last call, and I heard that person call and say that he's not trying to build a community. And none of you guys really kind of laid into him on that one because, I mean, look, to me, that's one of the biggest attractions here. Yeah, the Free State Project movers have had tremendous political successes with dozens of Free Staters who've been elected to the State House in the current term and previous terms. There's been plenty as well. And we've seen amazing, you know, civil disobedience and outside the system activism here that's never been done in the history of the libertarian movement anywhere. I mean, there's no doubt that politically, and apolitically, the libertarians in New Hampshire who've moved here for the Free State Project and for this political migration have been more successful in 15 years than the Libertarian Party nationally has in the last 50. But just all of those wins aside, one of the biggest wins here is the community of liberty-minded people, which is literally thousands of people. There were images posted of the Taproom Tuesday event, which is a weekly just kind of social hangout that happens in Manchester, which is the quote-unquote big city of 120,000 people. And in that city, they're regularly getting more than 50 attendees. They said there were 70 people that were attending that particular event. And, you know, where
That's
I come
impressive.
From, yeah, where I come from, which is a you know, a similarly sized city to Manchester down in Florida, we were lucky if we had 5 to 10 people at our libertarian meetups. The time we would ever have more than that would be like a presidential election night. Then we might get 20 to 30. And so they're just regularly cranking out like these huge numbers of people for these social events. You know, it's an unprecedented community. They've been doing a new show called Free State Live on Monday nights, just kind of interviewing different activists like Mark Warden, the Porcupine real estate agents, and other people doing different sorts of things. And they've been really just pointing out some of the incredible community aspects. And one of those things, of course, is the move-in parties, where people who are moving here, you just let the Free State Project know when you're going to be here, when your moving truck's going to show up, and where. And all of a sudden, you know, a dozen, maybe more people, maybe 2 dozen, who knows, will show up to your house and unload that moving truck within 50 minutes. And then you sit down, you order some pizzas and bring some beers and share them with your new friends that you get to know right there in your living room. I mean, that's a level of support that just doesn't exist anywhere else.
I mean, you're absolutely right. I'm thinking about the Libertarian Party county affiliate that I helped form when I lived in Mississippi, and despite having a lengthy list of people, something like 40 or 50 registered Libertarians nationally in that one county alone, we were able to get a total of 3 people, one of whom was me, at any of our Libertarian meetings, and there was, even despite the fact that all 3 of us were Libertarians, there was no real sense of community. Like, if my car broke down on the way home, neither of those would have been the person I went to be like, hey man, I've got a problem, can you help me out, can you get me a ride home or whatever. But here in New Hampshire, yeah, if my car broke down on the way home tonight, which obviously it's not going to, but if it did, there are plenty of Libertarians who would be there by my side within 15 minutes.
So my thing is,
and that's not speculation. That's the truth. This happened.
Yeah, that would happen for sure.
Sorry, Lori, go ahead.
That's okay. He was saying that it's utilitarian, my argument there, but I don't think so. I think that the whole point of a community is having people around you that all care for the same purpose and are working towards the same goals, and having people that are there that share your views to educate your children, to sell you your groceries, to grow the food that those grocers are selling, to run all the different things in town. Everyone has a purpose, and if all the people together that move here have the same purpose, then you can create a society and a community that is basically utopia.
What about you, Bonnie?
Well, I mean, it's never going to be utopia, because there's always going to be issues and challenges. But if you've got a good community, you can overcome that stuff. So, I mean, that's obviously not important to Mark. And I mean, let's be clear: what's important to him is not what's important to a lot of the people that moved here. And the fact is, the only reason Mark ever moved to New Hampshire is because I moved Free Talk Live there. And he never would have come here if it weren't for him being on the radio. And he wanted to continue being on the radio. So he never would have moved here, because to him, staying warm and staying with his mom are two really important things.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it's weird that I wanted to say this to him, but the call just kind of ended. I think it's weird that he thinks there's just, like, what, 10 states that would even be comparable to moving to New Hampshire, because, like, Tennessee is in the south, and it still has a pretty bad winter. When we moved there, we were, like, climbing up a hill to get to our house of snow and ice. It's not like it,
were you,
I don't
like
know.
In one of the mountainous regions?
No, it's in Clarksville, Tennessee, which is far west and north, like, close to Kentucky. But, like, north of Nashville, so it's not mountainous or anything like that.
Okay.
It's just, I don't know. I just think that if you have any kind of winter, then it's just as bad as New Hampshire. And New Hampshire has a better winter than northern Utah, which I also lived there for 5 years, because as soon as it's, like, October, everything is just dead and ugly and gray. So you live with, like, clouds covering the sky because you're surrounded by mountains and there's, like, inversion from October to May. It's horrible.
Brown,
it's not like
clouds.
That here. Yeah, it's just brown and gray there.
Yep, the snow is brown, the air is brown, everything's brown, it's gross.
I mean, if you're a salamander who wants it to be 90 degrees year-round, sure. Florida or the Honduras or something is probably a pretty good choice. But if you are a normal human being who enjoys having 4 seasons and a Earth that actually experiences temperature changes, then New Hampshire is just fine. I don't know why there's this mythology that New Hampshire's winters are just so much worse than everywhere else. It's true that they're worse compared to Florida, worse compared to Nevada or California, or parts of California at least, or Mississippi, but it's still just a winter, right? Put on a coat. Put on a scarf if you need to. Put on some gloves. You'll be fine.
And there's no beautiful spring at the end of the tunnel for a lot of places with winter, like Utah. It's okay. I will say it's not the worst, but in New Hampshire, there's like this, oh my gosh, I can't wait for it to be like, actually April, not even May, was beautiful last year.
Once you get past mud season, that's true. But there is a mud season where all the snow melts and everything is just muddy for like 3 weeks.
But it was so nice and keen. Like, I was so sad because Ian was in jail the whole month, and that was my favorite month as far as nature this year.
But it's really not that bad here, and there is a very strong sense of community, and that's a powerful thing, right? And we saw that during the raid when Ian got arrested and I got arrested, where people not even living here in New Hampshire were the ones who were sharing the news about it and getting people who did live here in New Hampshire on the ground filming, doing anything and everything they could to have our backs as, you know, the FBI crashed down on us. And we wouldn't get that in the Honduras or Utila or wherever it is that Mark is currently gallivanting around.
Also, does he not want a community built there? Because I thought that was the goal.
I think that probably is the goal. There's more coming up here. 603-283-6160 if you want to join us. It's Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live. Yeah.
invited to share your thoughts and opinions. 603-283-6160. If you'd like to do that, 603-283-6160. With you tonight, it's Aria.
It's Bonnie.
And Lori.
And we're giving away a second BitBox on New Year's Eve. For those who don't know, the BitBox is a hardware wallet, but unlike other hardware wallets, BitBox's software is 100% open source, which helps it to avoid some of the problems that other hardware wallets sometimes have. If you want a chance to win, all you have to do is join the AMPS program at amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. We'll be choosing one of our supporters at random on an episode of Free Talk Live that is taking place on New Year's Eve. And although we like being able to offer a bonus to our supporters, the reason you should join is because you like the show and you want to support the show. That's amps.freetalklive.com, amps.freetalklive.com. Now, before we got into the merits of New Hampshire and the strong libertarian community that exists here, which I saw just a few weeks ago when I want to call her a friend of mine, but I don't believe I've ever even actually met this person. She's a libertarian. I don't even know where she lives now that I think about it, so I've almost certainly never met her. But her house burned down. And that night, there were libertarians out there helping her. I think her keys burned up in the house as well, so they helped her get to a hotel room. And she's since got a new place that she's renting, and a lot of help from the libertarian community that happened that night while her house was actively burning down. It's an incredible level of community here that you just don't see anywhere else. It's sort of like, and I hate saying this because one of my biggest criticisms of the Free State Project is this cult-like mannerism that it has, where they all say, welcome home, when you talk about moving here or that you have moved here. And I got to tell you, I find that cringy and creepy, and I really wish they would stop doing it.
Well, I liked when Derek J. said to me, welcome to the Free State. I felt like, oh, welcome, without it being creepy.
I like that approach a lot better. I could certainly get on board with that, but the way it's said isn't just, oh, well, welcome home. It's always like a blank, loving, cult-like sound. Welcome home, Jane. We make gems and jellies. Welcome home. And that's my only real criticism of the Free State Project. It does have that little cult-like aspect to it that I'm not necessarily a big fan of. But that said, it is a lot like a religious community. And the Free State Project in that regard is a lot like the Puritans that first came to the United States. They're like, hey, this religious thing you got going on here in England, it's not working for us. So all of us like-minded people, we're going to go here and we're going to establish our own religious freedom community. And granted, none of that happened the way that they planned for it to happen or they wanted it to happen. And they became corrupt and started, you know, executing witches and all that kind of nonsense. But without getting into religious history in the United States, the Free State Project is basically that same idea. It's taking a religious community, because that's the only other place that you see these sort of communities, right? If someone at a church, if their house burns down, everyone in that church pulls together to help them out. You don't see that among Republican communities or Democratic communities.
I think about it like that all the time, that it's like a religious community, in that whenever I'm around somebody like our friends, the Gordons, I'm just like, I have this feeling like that we're part of the same thing. You know, it sounds creepy, maybe, to some people, but it's a nice feeling. And I think actually most humans look for that, and they look for it in creepier places. Like, we both believe that somebody died 2,000 years ago for our sins is a weirder niche than we both believe in the principle of non-aggression.
Absolutely. I don't like referring to it as a religious community simply because it does have so many unfortunate connotations to it. But the idea of liberty, it is ultimately a spiritual idea, right? Because there's no real utilitarian reason that freedom should be better than not being free, except I believe that freedom is going to lead to a better world than not freedom, right? So in a sense, that is a religious belief, and we all come together in that idea that the best way to serve ourselves and each other is to be free and to not aggress against one another. So it sort of is a religious belief, I would argue. I mean, that's sort of why what Free Talk Live is considered doing is ministry of the ideas of liberty, because there are a lot of religious aspects to it. It's libertarianism is a belief system. It's a very loose, very uncodified political system where basically it's just don't aggress against people and don't take their stuff, but it's still just a religious belief. So we do have a strong community here, and the closest parallel I can think of is your church community or your mosque community or your synagogue community or your Buddhist temple or monastery or whatever.
Only in a religious community, there's a lot more things for somebody to have a belief in that the other person doesn't, and it's a huge disagreement. In libertarians, it's just like, oh, they want to do it like that. But as long as we have the one thing that we still agree on, which is you don't mess with me and I don't mess with you, then there's not like a big reason to be not part of the same community. Like if you're a Christian that believes in the Holy Spirit being inside somebody, and somebody else is a Christian who doesn't believe in that part, you basically are two different things.
Right, and that's ultimately because Christianity, all of these other religions, they're not built from the foundation that it's wrong to aggress against people, right? Within the confines of their religion, if you feel what someone is doing is wrong and they profess to be following the same religion as you are, then they're sinning, and they should be punished. That's one of the things that I liked about Tom Gray, who used to do the Call to Freedom with me so much, is like, a lot of Christians want to criticize me and my lifestyle, but they don't have the right to do that because I'm not professing to be following their code, their laws, or whatever. Libertarianism, however, the only real code that it has is not aggressing against people. So even if someone is living a life that you don't approve of and you hate everything about it, it's still wrong to aggress against people. And you're coming at it from the point of view of they're also not going to force you to live the way that they want you to live. Christianity and these other religions, they don't have that. And because of that, there have been schisms. They killed one another over their disagreements. And libertarians, as pedantic as they are, and look, until you get to New Hampshire, you have no idea how pedantic libertarians really can be.
Well, actually.
Every libertarian chat I've ever seen devolves into endless, pointless arguments about tiny things that affect like half of a particular person and no one else on the planet. And these arguments go on for hours.
I've been guilty, but at least I know that when I'm arguing with Chris Wade about something on Telegram, that we don't actually hate each other and we just want to argue.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, none of it's coming from a position of hostility or anything like that. And it's entertaining. It's fun to be one of these people because it makes you think about things that you otherwise wouldn't think about. But ultimately, it's libertarians like arguing, and they do that a lot with each other. But and you see this playing out in real time in the Libertarian Party. That's one of the reasons it has never accomplished anything notable in its 50-year history, is because they're too busy arguing about bylaws and what pink-haired lady did last week to actually get anything accomplished. Here in New Hampshire, the libertarians are like, hey, I want to be free. You want to be free. Let's work toward that. Where Libertarian Party, that they're like the starving puppies, right, that have just a little bit of kibble, and they're going to fight to the death over that little bit of kibble because they're undisciplined and they don't realize that they're fighting to the death over this tiny amount, and there's this great big mountain of food beside them that they're just ignoring because they would rather argue and fight. And that's what I see in the National Libertarian Party. I don't see that in New Hampshire. There's more coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
U.S. USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Biden spent part of his Wednesday visiting some of the communities in Kentucky that were damaged by the recent severe weather that included tornadoes. Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas is touring the damage with the president and says his department is ready for the long haul.
The president directed us to be aware of the challenge of connectivity and to go where the need exists and to be able to provide a one-stop shop for people.
The president assured federal resources to help communities rebuild will be around for as long as necessary. The Fed Reserve is leaving interest rates unchanged for now, but it's suggesting more aggressive moves against inflation in 2022, including up to 3 rate hikes. That's according to Fed Chair Jerome Powell. You're listening to USA Radio News. The Fed Reserve is leaving interest rates unchanged for now. The Fed suggesting more aggressive moves against inflation in 2022, including up to 3 rate hikes. Fed Chair Jerome Powell sounding upbeat about the ongoing economic growth. He cites improvements in the labor market, including solid job gains, rising wages, and falling unemployment. An Omicron-specific coronavirus vaccine booster? The White House says it's probably not necessary as long as you're up to date on your shots.
Our booster vaccine regimens work against Omicron. At this point, there is no need for a variant-specific booster.
That's White House Chief Medical Advisor Dr. Anthony Fauci. He says the data right now shows that existing vaccines offer good protection against the contagious new Omicron variant. The White House and CDC say guidance is still the same. You're listening to USA Radio News.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The Internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio. 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live, where you're invited to take control of the airwaves. Talk about whatever is on your mind. 603-283-6160 if you'd like to do that. Again, that's 603-283-6160. With you tonight, it's Aria.
It's Bonnie.
And Laurie.
And before we got into a lengthy discussion about the I accidentally clicked something to try to get back into a window that launched a video, then I can just go ahead and mute that so if I do click it again, it doesn't happen. We were talking about the Omicron variant. The data from South Africa, which was compiled by Discovery Health, which is not the cable station Discovery Health. Isn't there a Discovery Health? It seems like there would be a station called Discovery
Health.
There
is,
Its largest private health insurer, that's who Discovery Health is in South Africa, they found that although there were high numbers of breakthrough infections in people who had been vaccinated, breakthrough infections, by the way, Lori, you have a story about that. You're not even allowed to talk about them on Twitter anymore. Cases appeared to be less severe, and this was backed up by anecdotal evidence from doctors on the ground. Oh, well, suddenly science is determined by anecdotal evidence. Well, thank goodness for that.
I mean, they did that at the Keene City Council Committee meeting. People got up to talk. Well, first they let the doctor from the local hospital come up and talk for a long, long time. Not the doctor, just one of the doctors. And he was just giving anecdotal evidence of his hospital and things going, like, the staff didn't get as many cases of COVID. Like, okay, there's other places that you can point to. Anyways.
I mean, that's not even anecdotal evidence. That's just them making stuff up and having absolutely no evidence. It's like me saying, well, thank goodness I didn't go to Walmart today because a safe could have fallen on my head and I would have died. There's no evidence that that would have happened if I had gone to Walmart or if I hadn't gone to Walmart or whatever. You can't compare a hypothetical like that to what actually happened because you can't split reality and say, okay, this is the timeline in which this employee or my employees did not get vaccinated. This is the timeline in which they did get vaccinated, and we can compare these two and we can see that if they got vaccinated, fewer people got sick and fewer people died. Instead, they're just making up this hypothetical timeline and they're saying, well, yes, clearly the vaccine kept them from getting sick. But you don't know that. Maybe they just fought it off. Maybe they just didn't get it.
I mean, yeah, maybe they've just already had it.
Maybe they just had asymptomatic infection like they claim is so prevalent.
This study found that effectiveness against infection dropped from 80% to 33%, which this is against the Omicron variant. So not very effective. I mean, 80% isn't very effective in the first place. I mean, let's just be honest. If condoms were only 80% effective, every condom company would constantly be getting sued. 80% effective, that's a really low bar to have set. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you want your doctor to have passed college with an 80 as his, or what would that GPA, a 2.0?
I don't know, what GPA?
It offers 70% protection against hospital admissions. How do they study? How do they measure that?
Right, yeah. That doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. And this was maintained across age groups and chronic conditions.
And they admitted that at the beginning they were using different parameters for what was vaccinated and unvaccinated. Anyways, they were just saying there's 100% of people or 80% of people in the hospital are unvaccinated. But they were using months of data where the vaccine hadn't even come out yet, wasn't available to anyone.
Sounds about right. And to be clear, this 80% to 33% effectiveness, they're really just comparing hypotheticals there as well, because they can't take this one particular individual and compare their likelihood of getting COVID-19 from the Omicron variant when they're vaccinated to when they're unvaccinated. They could just take two people who are sort of similar, one of whom is vaccinated, one of whom isn't, expose them to the Omicron variant, and see what happens. See which one gets COVID-19. Of course, that's unethical, and no medical association in the world is going to let you just knowingly expose people to COVID-19 to see whether or not your vaccine works.
And you'd have to, like, control that.
Yeah, you'd have
crazy, like, the humidity in the room, the air temperature, the airflow, like, everything about it would have to be super controlled, and they'd basically have to be genetic twins.
They would have to be, because for all you know, this one person who didn't get COVID-19, it's because they had COVID 6 months ago or whatever, and the vaccine has nothing to do with them not getting it now.
Mm-hmm. Or they take different vitamins, or they have different genes in their body that make their immune system different.
Yeah, they spend different amounts of time in the sun. There's
right.
All
one
sorts
is, like,
of
obese, yeah. And one's not, because we learned that the COVID virus can attack fat cells.
There's all sorts of variables that they simply can't account for. It's very heartening to see these results, said Professor Glenda Garay, and released. It's very heartening to see these results and release that vaccine effect. Oh, okay. It's very releasing to see that vaccine effectiveness is still greater than 50%. So it's encouraging, and again, the booster strategy may also mitigate the reduction in vaccine effectiveness.
That sounds like something you should be saying in the studies. Oh, we're very encouraged that it's working over 50%. We're getting it up there to where it'll start working. Not when you've already been rolling it out to the entire world's population.
Well, define working as well, because what she's describing as vaccine effectiveness is just that it's protecting people against hospital admissions. Only 33% of people are actually being protected against infection, which is the whole freaking point of a vaccine.
It's 50% effective against hospital visits?
It's 70% effective against hospital admissions, yes.
Okay, 70%.
Which, again, they can't really account for. People who have been vaccinated are staying in the hospital just 2.5 days. There are so many variables there, again, about a person's natural immunity, their body's ability to fight off a virus, vaccinated or not. It's absolutely silly. The study also showed that the odds of reinfection were lower than during Delta, suggesting that people who had a Delta infection may be better protected. I don't understand that at all.
It didn't say how long unvaccinated people are in the hospital.
It certainly did not.
No.
Well, I imagine a lot of...
Maybe it's 3 days. Maybe it's 1.5 days.
Well, most people in South Africa aren't vaccinated, right? It has a relatively low vaccination rate, and if the Omicron variant is spreading as fast as they say, the majority of people who get it can't be being hospitalized in the first place.
I would think not.
So a lot of them are probably just getting sick for a day or two and then going about their lives. One of the things I saw recently is that the symptoms caused by the Omicron variant are different and that you don't lose your sense of smell or taste. I don't know how true that is, but at least one study said that, or at least one doctor said that. So if they just have the sniffles for a few days, or if they're just randomly tired for a day or two, why would they even go get tested? That's not one of the COVID-19 symptoms.
Right. It sounds like a cold.
It's absolutely just a cold.
You know, and they say some people are dying from it. Some people die from paper cuts.
Yeah, and some people die from cold.
Some people die from the flu, and it's supposedly just like the flu.
This one is definitely proving to be more like the flu. If you look at the proportion of patients admitted to high care in ICU for severe illness across the first three waves, the proportion... Okay, that's a boring statement, and it's very badly worded. At the Science and Technology Select Committee, Kate Bingham, also a truly British name, who led the government's vaccine program, said the data from South Africa is encouraging. It may be that Omicron is a more mild disease. It is clearly widely divergent from the Wuhan strain.
And how can they know which strain you have? It's just so
genetic,
weird.
Genetic testing of it, from what I can tell.
But they said that the test they're using doesn't even work, and they're still using it. So how can they know what...
They're not using genetic testing at the hospital when you go to get your PCR test, though.
Okay.
And I can't believe they're still using those. To do the genetic testing, they have to get probably a sample of your saliva or something and ship it off to a lab and...
So they're doing that with every single test?
No, certainly not.
So then how do they know all these people have this variant? Yeah. How do they know that everyone has Delta? How do they know everyone has whatever?
They probably just do a sample size and just extrapolate the data from that. Like, okay, we collected 200 samples or whatever, and 170 of them were the Omicron variant. So presumably, if there's 2,000 people, then we're going to find 1,700 of them are the Omicron variant. That's probably how they're doing it.
It's not good science, though.
Well, I mean, that's the only way they really can do it. They can't do the gene testing for every single person who tests positive for COVID-19. But because
they should stop assuming numbers, then.
They should. I agree. But they're not going to. But hey, they're saying that the Omicron variant is less scary than the other ones, and I'm like, man, that's great, because the other ones didn't do anything to me, so this one's going to do even less. 603-283-6160. It's...
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks, so it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
You've heard that supply lines are down or moving slow.
Or moving slow.
And that most everything costs more these days.
Costs more these days.
But good news. High-quality Sunny Bay products are in stock and ready to ship now because they're made in the USA. Like our extra-long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs, are microwavable, and come in a variety of colors and patterns. What a great gift! An extra-long neck heating pad from Sunny Bay. Also available in lavender scented. Buy now in time for the holidays and avoid any shipping delays. Available on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. They're great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. So, This year, give the gift of pain relief, an extra long neck wrap from Sunny Bay. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay heating pads. Order now when our stock is high and shipping is fast. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you, too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
I represent low-cost airlines, and we know a lot of you are not traveling right now, and we understand. However, if you do need to travel between now and the end of the year, now is a great time to lock in some of the lowest prices we've seen in a lifetime. Hey, in normal times, we can save you up to 75%, but now airlines are practically giving away seats. We have inside deals on over 500 airlines. Here are a few sample round-trip deals we found. Seattle to Vegas, $35. Chicago to Atlanta, $85. Los Angeles to Atlanta, $100. Of course, there are some limitations, but the airlines want your business right now. And cancellation and change fees are flexible. So fly somewhere this year, book now, save a ton, call right now.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live, where you can share your opinions. 603-283-6160 if you want to do that. Talk about whatever you want. Talk about the Omicron variants as we've been discussing, or why you think other states may be better places or other parts of the world may be better destinations for liberty lovers than New Hampshire. 603-283-6160. With you tonight, it's Aria.
It's Bonnie.
And Lori.
And Lori, you brought in a study about an anti-aging vaccine. I've seen things similar to this floating around in the news for the last several years, that they found a new way of slowing agency or slowing aging or halting aging, but I've never really paid any attention to it. But you have a story about this, so let's get into that.
All right. This is from the Japan Times, and it says, Japanese scientists develop vaccine to eliminate cells behind aging. A Japanese research team said that it developed a vaccine to remove so-called zombie cells that accumulate with age and damage nearby cells, causing aging-related diseases, including arterial stiffening. The team, including...
If I'm understanding correctly, these zombie cells are just sort of a body's built-in self-destruct mechanism that builds up and eventually just kills us?
Yeah, so your cells die and new cells regenerate, but the cells that die don't go anywhere. They just kind of sit there, accumulating. So the team, including Chitendo University professor Toru Minamino, confirmed that mice administered with the vaccine showed decreases in zombie cells, medically known as senescent cells, and in areas affected by arterial stiffening. We can expect that the vaccine will be applied to the treatment of arterial stiffening, diabetes, and other aging-related diseases, Minamino said. The result of the team's research was published in the online version of the journal Nature Aging on Friday. Senescent cells refer to those that have stopped dividing but do not die. They damage nearby healthy cells by releasing chemicals that cause inflammation. The team identified a protein found in the senescent cells in human and mice and created a peptide vaccine based on an amino acid that constitutes the protein. The vaccine enables the body to create antibodies that attach themselves to sentient cells, which are removed by white blood cells that adhere to the antibodies.
It's all very confusing.
Well, the cells, they die but don't go anywhere. So what they're doing is they're...
Well, it said they stop splitting. They stop reproducing, basically.
Right.
I don't remember the terminology they used, and because I don't remember fifth grade biology, I don't remember the correct term that you literally just said that was in the article. But dividing, that was it. They stop dividing, but they don't actually die. They just sort of sit there producing poisonous chemicals.
That's kind of the death of a cell, though. If it stops dividing, it's kind of just sitting there not doing anything. So it's releasing these chemicals that cause the other cells around it to be damaged.
I just think when my cells start doing that, it's time for me to die.
Well, your cells are already doing
that. They started doing that the moment you were born.
Yeah, but what I mean is to a rate where my hair turns gray and I am getting really old and stuff, it'll be time for me to die. I'd rather do something more or die more naturally than get all this done.
My uncle had a full head of gray hair at 18.
Wow.
Oh, man, that's unfortunate.
So, I mean...
You know, I know a lot of libertarians are against, you know, transhumanism and stuff like that. I don't want my brain to be effective. A lot of them... A lot of transhumanists are like, yes, I want microchips in my brain to make it more powerful or to help me remember better and stuff like that. I kind of want my brain left alone, but sure, if you could build me an Android body that, you know, I could build to specifications that I liked and you could just take my brain and put it in that for a few centuries or whatever, I'd be okay with that.
Yeah. No, I would not. I think about this topic so often because DARPA is doing this. And
what is DARPA?
It's just some organization. I can't remember what it stands for right now, but they do all kinds of crazy testings, and they have a like coalition of doctors that are looking into basically this, and they want to, by 2045, it's called the Avatar Project. They want to, by 2045, have holographic avatars that people's like sentience is put into, and I would never do that.
As long as I could withdraw the right from my sentience to continue existing, like... If they just want to trap my consciousness, whatever that means, and put it into another body to exist in this hologram or this metaverse or whatever it is that they're talking about doing, I'd be okay with that in theory, as long as I can always say at any time, okay, I'm done here, pull the plug.
But that's the thing. The thing about it is ultimately control to me. Like, I want to be able to control when I die, and if my whole entire consciousness is just in this computer system that's, like, always up on the cloud or whatever, and I can't... If somehow somebody else has the power to get rid of me, but I don't have the power, oh my gosh, I don't want to have to kill myself, and I don't want to have somebody else be the only person with the key to killing me.
Well, that's sort of how it is in American society already. I mean, sure, technically you can kill yourself, but it's considered a crime. And if you're not successful, you could actually end up in jail for attempting it.
It's crazy.
I mean, I agree, obviously. Your body is yours. Your life is yours. If you want to end your life, that should 100% be your right. But at the same time, someone else could also just kill you. I like the idea of being able to control when I'm going to die and to die on my terms and all that. But realistically... That's unlikely. I mean, in real terms, the idea that we're going to have any control over how we die is not very likely. We're more likely to die in a car crash or while walking down the street.
That's not really what I meant, though. I mean, like, you are in a place where literally somebody else has a key to your existing or not existing. That's just not okay with me. Like, if it's the universe has the key, that's different. You know, just, oh, I could step into these circumstances today, that's fine. But if it's this person on the outside of a computer controlling me inside of a computer, no.
So I think the whole being in the cloud thing, that's not actually your existence. That's like a replication of your memories and stuff. So you wouldn't really be there. But if you were a cyborg with your brain in that indestructible body, then you're controlling that. I'm down for being a cyborg. I don't want to be uploaded to the cloud, though.
I wouldn't mind being uploaded to the cloud if they, like, gave me stuff to do, right?
Well, you wouldn't be there. You wouldn't actually be sentient. It's like a replication of you.
Well, we don't... It may be sentient. I mean, we don't really know.
We don't know what we are. Like, right. We don't know what makes us sentient, so how could we upload that?
But I just know it's not this physical body, and I just know it's something beyond that, and I'd rather just die and move on from this body than be, like, grasping to hold, stay in this body forever with these shots and, you know, look the same. I'd rather just get old and everybody leave me alone and nobody invite me out drinking because I'm old.
See, I'm exactly the opposite. I would rather not get old if I could just pretty much stay as I would turn back the clock and be like, look, if I could just stay as my 23-year-old self for the next 70 years and then just say, all right, I've had enough, and press a button and suddenly just die, that would be ideal.
I want an indestructible body and, like, all the wisdom of a god. I want to live for, like, thousands of years and know everything and just be a robot.
I wouldn't want to live that long. I tend to think I would just run out of... I would run out of energy, I feel like, to just continue existing at that point.
Yeah. The Bible says, and that's one thing I agree with, that we long to shed our bodies like clothes and put on new heavenly bodies. I want to go.
Don't recharge. Don't recharge your robot body. And then
yeah, that,
power down.
That's where I'm coming from. I mean, I want to be able to, if I can extend my existence beyond the natural parameters, right, then it has to come with the caveat that I can also end that existence. Because that's the argument people make. Suicide is unnatural, or it's evil or whatever. Okay, but if all of that is unnatural, this artificial extending of life is also unnatural. So if we're going to do an unnatural thing already, which I would argue it's by definition natural because humans are natural beings, therefore anything we create is by definition natural. But if they want to take that position, fine. But I can still pull the plug, you know, 150 years from now if I want to.
I mean, if you're in, like, a cyborg body, there's no saying you can't climb a telephone pole and swing from power lines. That would definitely end it. You know, there's no way to stop you from ending it.
We don't know what that existence would feel like, and the sensation of not being in a body is probably something that would make me crazy if my brain was still alive.
You'd be in a cyborg body.
Yeah, but they probably couldn't replicate it exactly like being in a flesh and blood body, and it would be terrifying.
I think you could, because all that is your different areas of your brain being triggered, so you'd have, like, electrodes inside your brain for all the different sensations and stuff. You'd still be able to taste things and smell things. And
yeah, the technology certainly isn't there yet. So all of this is just hypothetical stuff that could be done. I mean, we certainly don't have the technology. As you pointed out, we don't understand what sentience even really is. So we don't have the technological or moral or spiritual understanding to take a human and put them into a different form. And it's going to be at least, I would speculate, centuries before we have technology of that level.
I'm sure all the other kin will have, like, dog robots and stuff. That'll be interesting.
God.
Yeah. I mean, it could be a lot of fun, right? I would rather have that than the metaverse where I could just, you know, create my character and pretend to be that character. No, give me a cyborg that I can customize in the way that I want, that I can just pop my brain into. And when I'm done with it, I can say, okay, I've seen enough in the simulation. Put me out of my misery. And that just automatically happens.
It'd be fun.
It would be fun. It would be a good way of extending life and giving people the opportunity to exist in the way that they want to exist. 603-283-6160. Would you jump into a cyborg body? It's Free Talk.
Folks, looks like food shortages are here and going to stick around. Supply chains are breaking down, and inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today, and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. Pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission or more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.